Welcome to the Journey Church podcast. Whether you've never stepped foot in a church before, or you wanted to hear Sunday sermon one more time, thank you for listening. It's our prayer that you find this message encouraging and that it helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get into it.
Sitting in a doctor's office. I know, it's different. Stick with me. Waiting to hear news that you didn't ever want to hear. Watching your marriage slowly drift away despite all your prayers. Standing by a fresh grave with more questions than answers. Trying to balance out your bills at the kitchen table when there isn't enough money to cover them. Packing up a desk at a job that you loved. Tucking your kids into bed while wondering how you will shield them from a broken world. Scrolling through social media while it looks like everyone else is winning in life but you. Hearing your teenager say, "I don't believe in God anymore." Carrying regret over words you wish you could take back. Watching the news and wondering if things are ever going to get better. Sitting in a church acting like you're okay when the truth is your whole world is falling apart. You see, life is hard. Pain's real. Suffering is certain. Struggles are unavoidable. Trials are guaranteed. Valleys are inevitable. Loss is heavy. Fear is common. Wounds are deep. Darkness is near. And tears are frequent. And I didn't think it was fitting as we go into this sermon series on the study of Psalms 23 for me to come up here and go, "Woo!" and for you to go, "Woo!" And then for us to jump into something that's so real. Because the truth is, not everybody in this room is doing okay today. Not everybody has it all figured out. Not all of us. That smile really is a smile. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us are going through some really difficult moments here. And I love God's word because it deals with them. In fact, this psalm we're going to study together, Psalms chapter 23, probably one of the most famous parts of the Bible that we have. You're going to find people relying on it from hospital rooms to foxholes in war, from funerals to moments of crisis. People instinctively turn to Psalms chapter 23. In fact, some of my favorite preachers over history are quoted as how much they love the Psalms. Like Charles Spurgeon, one of my favorite pastors, he was from the 19th century. He's the first megachurch pastor over in England. And he's quoted as saying this. He says, "We all have things and abound, not because I have a good store of money in the bank, not because I have skill and wit with which to win my bread." He's like, "I'm fine because the Lord is my shepherd." A modern day pastor that I love, Louis Giglio, pastor of Passion City Church down in Atlanta, he has this quote, and I love this too. He says, "The devil wants nothing more than to crush you. The message of Psalms 23 is that the good shepherd prepares a table for you. It's a table for two, and the devil was not invited to it." And I'm excited about these next 4 weeks. I have two goals for you. First one is I want you to become familiar with the psalm. I want you to know the background of it. I want you to know it's written by an older man that's experienced life. His main goal of this book is to let you know that in every season of your life, God is a shepherd. He's good. He's been through it all. He was the youngest son, despised by his father. Not many thought he had anything good in him. He's in a field by himself, shepherding, unseen. He gets anointed to be king, King David. One day he gets anointed to be king, goes through hell on this earth. The king hates him. Everybody wants him dead. Eventually he becomes king and he forgets God and has a moral failure, has an affair with a married woman named Bathsheba. And he goes through that and recovers by the grace of God. He has family strife. He has problems with his sons. He's gotten to the end of his days, and he wants us to know God's good, God will get you through, God will provide, God will restore, God will redeem. And so by the end of this, I have homework for you. Can I do that? Because school started. So I want to give you homework, and I want you to get to the point by the end of these 4 weeks where you have in memory Psalms chapter 23. You're like, "I can't do that. It's six verses, bro." But it's six of the most powerful verses in the Bible. And when you're done, you can walk around and tell everybody you memorized the whole chapter in the Bible, right? And so what I want to do, though, is I want to start. We're going to do this every week. The Word of God is powerful. Does anybody agree with me? Amen. The spoken word of God. Not only does it remind you, your soul, but it lets Satan know you're not right, God is, right? And so what I want to do is I want to say this out loud together. And I'm going to be honest with you, I was surprised. 8 o'clock killed it, 9:30, they did good. And so I know you guys are the best service. Am I right or wrong? Right? So let's say it like we mean it, not like a monotone call. You know what I'm talking about? And so, you ready? Bring it up on the screen. Let's read it together. The Lord is my
shepherd.
Go ahead. There you go. Let's go. Two more. Y'all can do that, right? Like, you imagine getting up every day and just, you're in an apartment, you're just screaming it in your apartment, just letting your neighbor know. The Lord's my shepherd. I lack nothing. Like, I love the whole passage. We're going to break it down together. My first goal is that you would be familiar with the psalm. But my real goal is that you would become familiar with the shepherd. Because it's one thing to know a song. It's another thing to know why it was written, where it's from. Like, we know songs a lot. And sometimes we even know artists, but oftentimes we know a song and an artist, but we don't have any idea what it's about. Like, you remember the song from years ago, Who Let the Dogs Out? I still don't know. Who Let the Dogs Out, right? Who's it by? You guys know? Like, couple people, right? I wouldn't. If I saw the Baja people walking down the street, I would not know. They wrote the hit, Who Let the Dogs Out? You remember that great song, I'm Too Sexy for My Pants, Too Sexy, right? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody, who wrote that? Okay, you guys are good, and heathens, okay. And so, remember the song, I Get Knocked Down, But I Get Up Again. I don't, nobody knows the words. You don't know the words, right? Who wrote it? Let's see how really good you are. Remember that kind of annoying song where it was like, how bizarre. Who wrote that? OMC. What does it stand for? We don't know. Because we know the song. We might even know the artist. We don't really know the artist, though. And a lot of times in church, like, you can say this, right? And here's the thing. Knowing the psalm is impactful, right? But knowing the shepherd changes everything. You see, when you're familiar with the psalm, it might calm your mind, but when you're familiar with the shepherd, it will anchor your soul. When you're familiar with the psalm, it might get you through a funeral. Oh, that's really pretty. But when you're familiar with the shepherd, it will get you through life and death. It's like the old story that I've shared many times in church about the young man who signed up for college, and he had to take an elective, and so he took an acting class. He went in this acting class, and this very pompous older professor got up and started teaching them the art of acting. And the very first assignment in the acting class was learning how to speak in public, to pronunciate words, to speak with the right tone, to not be monotone. And so he's like, our project is we're going to learn how to speak Psalms chapter 23. I'll go first, he says. He gets up. It is eloquent and beautiful. He projects his words. He speaks from his chest. The people all the way in the back can hear him. He's not monotone. It is a moving moment in the class. And then there's this kid in the front row. He's just there. He signed up for an elective, paying $1,000 for a class he doesn't want to take. He's like, you'll go next. The kid doesn't want to be there. He gets up. What the professor doesn't know about the kid is a Christian. He's been through a lot in his life. He knows Jesus. And he gets up, and he doesn't have any acting ability at all. And he begins to speak, and as he speaks, she even stops to correct him. Hey, you need to speak so everybody in the back can hear you. And he begins to recite the Lord's Prayer. And as he begins, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And he goes through, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. And gets to verse 6, and he says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in your house. He starts to break down. He remembers the times in his teenage years where the Lord got him through. He remembers the times through his mom and dad's marriage where the Lord got him through, and tears began to flow down his face, and tears began to flow down the face of people in the class. They don't even know what's going on, and the professor gets quiet. And he finishes and he sits down. He's wiping his tears. The professor comes up and he says, I'm better than him. I'm educated. I projected better. The difference between my performance and his is I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. And by the end of this, I want you to have a deep, profound understanding of what it means to have God as your shepherd. And so we're going to start there. We're just going to keep it simple. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, this message for you. He said it's going to be simple. You weren't supposed to say that, right? And so you just... We're just going to start verse number one. Just verse number one. Verse number one reads really simple. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Interesting. If the Lord is your shepherd, then that, if we just are going to do, you know, some research and study and, you know, come up with this, that makes you a what? Okay, let's try again over here. Is it good right here? We'll get over here to simple people. And it, if the Lord is your shepherd, it makes you a
sheep.
There you go. So you heard that from them? It's you're a sheep, right? Okay, interesting. So the Bible talks all the time about animals, all the time. Uses animals to teach spiritual truths, animals to show us things about ourselves. 44 times in Scripture, the Bible mentions the word dogs. Not always in a positive light, but it does mention the word dogs. You know how many times, let's see, how many dog people we have here? Dog people? How many cat people we have here? Weird. And so, weird, I'm just letting you know. 44 times dogs, you know how many times cats is mentioned in Scripture?
Zero.
Cats are from Satan, that's why. Right? They would eat you if they could. I'm just letting you know, right? And so cats are zero. There's oxen in Scripture. There's doves in Scripture. Guess what else is in Scripture? The E-A-G-L. Yeah, there's no cowboys in Scripture. There's none. I looked, right? But there is an eagle in Scripture. So it's all through Scripture. You know what the number one animal Scripture talks about? Sheep. Over 200 times in the Bible references sheep, many times speaking about us. And so what I want to do is I want to spend some time breaking this down for you, because what I thought when the Lord was like, or the Bible was like, okay, you're a sheep, I used to tell people, that means you're dumb. I love that. Like, you would get up here and be like, the Bible's calling you dumb. Take it up with Jesus, right? Like, but I studied it this week. Right? And it's not actually saying that you're dumb, because sheep aren't that dumb in all reality. Sheep know, they can know up to 50 faces. Like they know the voice of their shepherd in a crowd. Sheep are very empathetic animals. Like dogs, if you ever put a piece of meat in front of a hungry dog, a bunch of hungry dogs, whatever dog gets there first takes it. But sheep are very empathetic. They care. They're not actually as dumb as I thought they were. They're not that smart, but they're not as dumb as cats. You know what I'm talking about? Like they're not... So the Bible is not trying to tell us that sheep are dumb, and you are dumb, right? Sheep are dumb, so you are dumb. Here's what it's trying to tell us. Sheep are not dumb, but sheep are dependable. They're dumb when they don't depend on the shepherd. It's not that they're dumb. It's that that God created them with this dependent need on somebody other than themselves. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 9, he said, I saw the crowds and he has compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When you don't have a shepherd, Jesus says, it's like you're harassed and you're helpless. So everybody look at your neighbor and say, Pastor said, you're not dumb. Look at your other neighbor, your spouse that you called dumb yesterday, and tell them, I was wrong. You forgive me. Right? You're not dumb, right? But let me tell you three things you are. Can I do that? You're not dumb, number one, but you are delicate. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor called you soft. And I hate this word. I'm a male. Delicate is not a compliment to me. Soft is not a compliment. When Kobe Bryant told his teammates one time, you're soft like Charmin, that is not something I want another grown man to refer to me as. Right? I'm tough. I'm buff. I grind. I got grit. Every spoken word that I listen to over workout is telling me one more push-up. You're tough. You can handle the world. Rocky said I can, right? I didn't hear no bell. Everything about my life is how tough I am. I don't cry. Any other guy in this place, I don't cry. I don't shed tears. I get stronger, right? But the Bible is trying to tell you something about yourself. You are fragile. You are delicate. You're soft. In fact, I know this because when the Bible talks about sheep and compares them to you, it's trying to tell us that. Like, how tough are sheep? Let's think about this. Cats, how do they defend themselves? Right? Claws. Dogs have what? Teeth. Bees have what? Elephants got weight, right? Like, they just crush you. Every animal in the animal kingdom appears to have something that they could use to defend themselves. What sheep have? Meh, right? What do they have? They got nothing. Sheep, even their outside, it's soft, right? It's delicate. They're prone to wounds. Like if a sheep gets a cut and they don't have a shepherd, just a little cut, and he's not there to doctor it up, that little cut can turn into a disease, a virus, an infection, and it will kill them. Sheep have something happen to them called cast down. Look at that up on YouTube. Cast down is a problem sheep have. If they get scared, if they lose their balance, and they roll over from the right side to their back, and they get on their back, they have no way of rolling back over. Sheep can't roll. Like if a shepherd's not there to roll them back over, they'll die because they fell on their back. They are delicate. And I know it's hard for us to hear this because we live in this. Like I'm tough. But bro, you're delicate. Not much. It doesn't take much to take you down. A couple years ago, I got something in my eye. You ever have something in your eye, you can't get it out? It was a Saturday, so I can't really miss Sundays, right, when I'm supposed to preach, because it's not like you just call somebody up and you're like, you're on, right? And so I get this thing in my eye Saturday morning. I don't even remember what it was. It just gets in my eye, right? And I couldn't get it out. Every time I blinked, it felt like I was rubbing up against it. I had my eye in water. I had my eye in thieves. I had my eye. I'd do everything I could possibly do to get this thing out of my eye. As I'm going, hours are passing. My face is swelling up more and more. My eye is watering. It looks ridiculous. I'm like, I can't go preach tomorrow. I look like I'm dying, right? And so it wouldn't come out. It's like 9 o'clock at night. This thing's still in my eye. I'm like, I got to go to the emergency room because I have something in my eye that's embarrassing. You walk in, limb cut off, right? Plague, something in my eye, right? And so I go to the back, and she's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I got something in my eye, can't get it. I've tried everything. She lays me back on the table. She numbs my eye. She opens it up, and she's like, oh, yeah, something's punctured your eyeball. She pulls it out, and when she says, I'm like, this is going to be awesome when she gets this out, because tomorrow I'm going to walk around. I'm going to show people this massive thing that took down their pastor. So she put it out. I was like, well, would you put it in a jar for me? She put it in a jar, and then she gave me the jar, and I was like, well, you didn't put it in the jar. She was like, it's in there. And I was like, well, can you just get something else and put it in here and pretend it was in my eye? Because it was like that little thing brought me to my knees. And it don't take much to take you down. Like, think about it. Somebody told you at one point in your life you were ugly and fat. It was in elementary school. I don't even remember the kid's name. Just know they said it to you. And now you're a female, and it's 25, 30 years past, and you still struggle with your body image and your weight and eating because of the word of some second grade little girl. You're soft. You were picked last on the kickball team. In third grade, repeatedly. But it was kickball in third grade. And now you're a 27-year-old young man, and you will not step out and take a chance because the people who told you you weren't good enough, it stayed with you. Let's get a little deeper. Somebody touched you inappropriately when you were 13 years old or 7 years old or 6 years old or 3 years old, but it only happened a few times. And you lived many years. That was a moment in time, many years since it happened. Yet it still affects you. Some of you are struggling with being sober because of that moment. Like, have you ever noticed, even people in the world, you look at them and you're like, man, they're super successful and strong, and yet they still struggle. Like a few years ago, I used to love Linkin Park when I was a young man. And the lead singer of Linkin Park took his life. And it was shocking. And then they started to bring studies or stories out about his life, and they found out that he struggled his entire life because he was sexually molested. Some of you older heads, you guys remember the iconic blonde bombshell Marilyn Monroe. To the world, she looked like everything every female should aspire to. But she struggled, and she ended up dying at a pretty early age. And the reason she struggled is because, and when she was a child, her father abandoned her. Just a little thing, just your father abandoning you. And then she went into foster care, and she actually got molested in foster care, and so she struggled with all sorts of issues her whole life. But it wasn't continuing to happen. I mean, she was far along. Everybody loved her. Everybody looked at her, wanted to be like her. She was dating the president. Nobody knew, but she was. And so... And it took her out because she's delicate. And that's what he's trying to say to us. Me and you, we're delicate. Like, it doesn't take much. We look strong on the outside, but we are fragile on the inside. Watch what this says. Psalms 103. He says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we were formed and remembers that we're dust. Dust is fragile. I don't know if you know that. It don't take much to move dust. It doesn't take much to affect dust. You see, without the shepherd, your delicacy is exposed and you will not last long. But with him, even though you're fragile, his strength will carry you through. First thing is you're delicate. Everybody look at your neighbor one more time. Say, Pastor called you soft again. I love it. You soft. If I could have, like, you're delicate. If you weren't delicate, you wouldn't be affected. If you weren't delicate, you wouldn't be so angry. If you weren't delicate, you wouldn't struggle with addiction. You're delicate. If you weren't delicate, you wouldn't have bitterness in your mind over something somebody said to you many years ago. It wasn't said to you on the way into church. You and me, do you agree with me or disagree with me? Because you don't look like you do. You look a little angry, but let's lean in again. You're soft. Right? Okay, let's go. Number two. Second thing, you're not dumb, right? You're delicate. The second thing, you're not dumb, but you are directionless. Anybody got any directionally impaired friends? You've been coming to church for 6 months and you still use your GPS to get here today? You don't even know what road you're on. You're in Phoenixville, bro, right? Nobody? Like sheep, they are directionally impaired. Birds can get in the sky and fly thousands of miles north to south and then south and back again. Do you know that? Sheep cannot do that. They have no sense of navigation. Unlike birds, right, they have no internal compass. Once they get walking, they'll just keep walking in circles. Just keep going. Did we see that tree before? I don't know. Let's just keep walking. We'll figure it out. So you're like, how does that relate to humans? Let me explain something to you. Here's what I've known. Sheep wander in circles. People chase the same patterns, broken relationships, and bad habits, dead-end choices that everybody else does. They just keep walking. That didn't work for you. Maybe it'll work for me. Yeah, let's try it out. They have no sense of direction at all. They'll follow the wrong leader. If you ever hear, your mom be like, if one of your friends jumps off a bridge, would you? The answer is yes. If my friends are jumping off the bridges, I will. You know how I know this? Because when I was growing up, people would be like, don't be a follower, be a what? Leader. Right? And I was like, yes, I'm going to be a leader. Then I went to college, first Thanksgiving or second Thanksgiving break. I was down in Houston, Texas. NSYNC was super popular. We're in Houston, Texas. My friends come in with bleach for their hair. And they're like, we're going to bleach our hair. I'm like, I'm not going to bleach my hair. I like my hair. And they're like, we're going to bleach our hair. And one friend started bleaching the hair. And guess what? When I got back to campus, I had bleached hair, y'all. Because I am absolutely a follower. I have no sense of distraction or direction at all in my life. In fact, that's what it says in Isaiah 53. It says, we all, like sheep, we go astray. Each of us has turned to its own way. Now, the Bible says in the prophecy, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In other words, this is why Jesus is coming, because you and me without Jesus, we're lost. You and me absolutely are followers. We have no idea where we're going. I mean, think about how many times you followed in your life. Like, I did my hair. I like to say as I got older, I became a leader. But a few years ago, I followed people. Remember, I don't know if you've ever been to Christmas Village. Anybody ever been there? Okay, let's just take an honest survey. And I hope nobody that is associated with this family-wise is here today. How many of you actually like Christmas Village? One. Two. How many of y'all been there and you were like, should have not went? Anybody? Okay, the honest people in here, right? Like I remember, I was like, everybody goes to Christmas Village. You go to Christmas Village, it will complete your core childhood memories for your kids. Get in my car, drive to Burnville, wherever it's at, right? Bertramville, I don't know where it's at. I have my GPS, right? Get over the hill, park there, walk through the sheep / cattle gate to get into this place. Walk around in a circle, just like sheep. Right? You know how people be like, I'm a lion, not a sheep. You're a sheep, bro. You just walk around, look at lights that haven't been changed out since 1933. The best part of Christmas Village is when you leave Christmas Village. But I went to Christmas Village because everybody else tells me Christmas Village will change your life because I am innately a follower, not a leader. So you're like, I'm a leader. No, you're not. We just keep following. Without Jesus, we have no sense of direction. And I want to show you this. Like a guy named Solomon, who, by the way, whoever you think is successful, they don't match Solomon. Solomon is David's son. He's the wisest, richest, most successful king this world has ever known. He writes Ecclesiastes at an old age to people that are younger to say, don't make the same mistakes that I made. And here's how he starts Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Meaningless, meaningless. Utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. That sounds like a book you want to read, right? What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and blows to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning to its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. I like this part. He says, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. You ever hear somebody like, I'm going to do something new? And Solomon's like, no, you're not. It's already been done, right? He says, no one, watch this. No one remembers, verse number 11, I'm going to skip one verse. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. They're like, you know how you're like, I'm going to live a life that's remembered? Without Jesus, he's like, you're just going to be forgotten. You're going to live the same life everybody else lives, get to the end of your life, have all sorts of regret, realize all the successes, all the accomplishments, all the relationships you thought you were going to have led to nowhere. Which is why, by the way, they found out that in America, we are the wealthiest, have the most opportunity, most wealthy of any people that have ever lived on this earth. We also have the highest rate of depression and anxiety of any country ever. You know what the number one disability in the world is right now? Depression. The number one disability is depression because we innately have no direction without the shepherd. So number one, you're soft. Tell your neighbor again, pastor called you soft again. Number two, you soft and you don't even know where you're going. You're directionless. Number three, last one. Number three, third thing, you're not dumb, but you are deceived. You're not dumb. You're delicate. You're directionless. And a lot of us are easy to deceive. So I never knew this about sheep. So sheep can see during the daytime. That's probably not a surprise to you. But at nighttime, they cannot. Like, they are very weak at seeing things in the night, which, by the way, is why Jesus says in the Gospels, my sheep hear my voice. What he's trying to say is no matter how dark that your life gets, there's not enough darkness that can quiet a voice. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if your husband snores and you're like, I'll just make it darker in my room. Does it go away? You got to silence him. You know what I'm talking about? Because there's not enough darkness that can cancel a voice. So he's like, hey, you're going to have a hard time seeing all the time. Because Satan loves darkness. He loves to confuse. He loves to bring death. And so you're going to be deceived easily unless you hear my voice. So many people I know, you're deceived. It's not new deceit, by the way. It's been happening forever. Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan in the garden. Samson was deceived by Delilah. Solomon was deceived by power. David was deceived by lust. Judas was deceived by the love of money. Everybody in Scripture struggles with deceit. Satan loves to masquerade like an angel of light and deceive you. And then once he deceives you, then he loves to pile on aggression in your life by telling you, I can't believe you got yourself into this mess. You are easy to deceive. Some of you are being deceived right now. As you're in this place, you're somebody, it's a little voice. You don't even know where it's coming from. It's like, this dude's full of crap. He called you soft. He's mean. He's just lying. He's just making stuff up. That's the voice of Satan telling you this whole thing's fake. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just get back in your car and just keep going. You'll find something. Just keep going. Satan's like, yeah, you'll find something. He's like, I got them. Hey, you know what you need? Another relationship. Keep picking up. Get on Tinder again. Try it again, right? Let's just go. You need more money. You're easy to deceive. This whole thing's fake. God doesn't have a good plan for you. Some of you, he's deceiving you, telling you, hey, you've done too much. You've done way too much for God to do anything good in your life. Way too much. And you're easy to deceive just like sheep are. Like we know this is true. Like they have found out, they did a study on the opportunity and ability to deceive people. And here's what they found. Fake news travels 6 times faster than real news. Do you know that? I'm not going to be political right now, right? But just give you an example. A couple years ago in Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, an influencer got online, used AI to make a fake announcement that there was going to be fireworks in their town. Started spreading all over social media. People got excited for these fireworks. The only problem was they were fake. The city cops of Birmingham got online and were like, please do not come to this location at this time. This is fake. People still didn't believe it. They showed up, started piling in, 10:30 p.m. All these cars started pulling up, hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. They got out of their car. They got in the back of their trucks. Some dude planned this perfect night out to get engaged to his girlfriend under the fireworks. Everybody's waiting, and the cops are like, there is no fireworks. We told you. And no matter how many times the cops told them, they still were deceived because they saw something online. The time came and went. They were mad. People started putting out their own fireworks. People are cursing out the cops right over fake news. We are so easy to deceive. You're delicate. You're directionless. You're defenseless. And this is not meant as an insult to you. So I was like, how do I say all these things to people but they don't feel insulted? And I think you need to understand, it's not an insult. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to realize you're all those things, and because you're all those things, the classic scientific understanding, if you studied it, would tell you if you're all those things, not by choice, but by design, then you must be made with the necessity for a shepherd. They all point to that. So I actually stumbled upon this story this week about a sheep that wandered away from its shepherd in Australia. I think it was 2015. The sheep's name was Chris. It's fitting. When they found Chris in the wilderness, Chris looked like this. Oh. Chris is not normal. Chris has an extra 88 pounds of wool on him right now. You see, the problem with sheep, the main problem with sheep, is they grow fur and wool, but they don't shed. So they need a shepherd to come shear them and relieve them of what they've grown. Same principle is true for people. Try to get rid of your baggage. Try to get rid of your anger. Try to get rid of your pain. Try to get rid of your hurt. Try to get rid of your bitterness, all those things. And that fur just keeps piling on. Try to find a sharp rock. Chris is rubbing up against rocks, trying to get that fur off, and that fur keeps growing. When they found Chris, he was one hot day away from dying in the wilderness. And you know what Chris didn't do when they found him? He wasn't like, I'm fine. I like my baggage. I like my wool. I want to do it myself. I'll be fine. Leave me alone. Chris gets found in the wilderness. He's like one lost sheep. Luke 15 says the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one lost sheep. He finds the lost sheep, and the Bible says that he rescues him. And so Chris is in the wilderness. He's like, I need help. And they're like, we're here to help you. They rescue him. They bring him back to the farm. That's the before picture. Show us the after picture. He's clothed and in a robe of green righteousness now. But he couldn't do that on his own. Ain't no rock, ain't no relationship, ain't no success. I need help. The Bible says if you would humble yourself and call to Jesus, he would answer. He's the good shepherd. He will rescue you. But the question is, do you want to be rescued? It is not meant to be an insult. The first step is an invitation into a relationship that you need. You don't get this relationship right, friend, nothing else is going to line up in your life. It's not a marriage thing. It's not I'm single when I get this. It's not a job thing. It's not a college. If I get into this college, then I'll be better. It's, if I get this car, if I get this person to see that, I make that team, if I can get that, if I get a beach house, then I'll be sad. If I can get these things, I'll be satisfied. You will only find satisfaction in the one relationship you were designed with. That relationship is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says he's here. He's knocking at the door of somebody's heart. Would you let him rescue you today? Would you let him free you? Would you let him release you from your baggage? Would you let him heal you? Would you let him give you forgiveness? Would you let him be a friend that sits closer than a brother? Would you allow him to save you? It's not an insult. It's an invitation. Would you stand to your feet? Spirit, would you move right now? Right now, move all over this house. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Move in a profound way. No one here by accident, nobody. No one offended in this place. This is a place of truth. Sometimes truth is confrontational. Sometimes truth pokes at areas of our life where we've been trying to hide. So Holy Spirit, would you be a light in the darkness right now? Would you be truth? Would you bring direction? Would you bring healing? All over this place, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, he's not your shepherd. Like you've heard the songs before, but he is not the leader of your life. You're not following him. You're trying to do this on your own. You're trying to make the big decisions on your own. You're trying to figure out the relationship things on your own. You're trying to make a way on your own, pay your bills on your own, find success on your own. Something clicked here today. And you realize I cannot be on my own. I need Jesus. The Bible says if you would call, that he'll answer. That he is an ever-present help in a time of need. And he loves you so much that he was willing to step out of perfection into brokenness. To die the death you should have died so you could have a life that you could have never earned. And he's here. He died. He rose in power. The Bible said he intercedes for us by name to come home. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Some of you have been in church for years, but you've never met the shepherd. Somebody, it's your very first day, and you're going to meet the shepherd. But I'm not sure where you're at, but I know you're here for a reason. And I know he wants you to respond. I know he loves you. So as we close in prayer, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. The Bible says when you humble yourself, that he will meet you. So I'm going to humble myself in this moment. Jesus, I need you to be my shepherd. I need a relationship with you. Come on, all over this house. Nobody's looking around. I need a relationship with you. I need a relationship with you. I need a relationship with you. God, I need you right now. All over this house, that's you. Would you just begin to shoot your hand towards heaven? Jesus, I need you right now. I need you right now. I see a hand. I see a hand. I need you, Jesus. I see hands, hands, hands. Yes. Hands over here. Come on, I need you, Jesus. Come on, keep raising your hand if that's you. I need Jesus Christ in my life right now. Now all over this house, would you pray something like this out loud together? Say, Jesus Christ, today I give up control of my life. Thank you for dying on a cross in my place for my sins. And thank you, Jesus, that because you rose in power, today I'm a brand new person. I'm forgiven and I'm healed. And from this day forward, I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. All over this house, would you shout amen? Would you clap with me one more time?
Thank you again for checking out our podcast. If you made the decision to give your life to Jesus today, we encourage you to visit our website. You can visit us at jrny.church to find resources, ask questions, and get more information on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. Have a great rest of your week.